following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday, the 21st of October, the opening day of the 2014 World Series, which can be heard tonight and tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio and every game, whether it's 4 or whether it's 7 on the Breeze. 94.5 FM, the Kansas City Royals hosting the San Francisco Giants. It seems to me that the Royals are receiving a lot more national publicity, national attention as we get closer to game one. And sometimes that's good for the other team. And let's see if San Francisco gets a little bit more their way today. And you can understand why. I mean, if you're a national media, the Giants are old news. They're old hat. They've been here 3 times in 5 years. They're world champs. There's way more exciting storylines and news and all of the things that go around the Kansas City Royals to talk about. But we'll see how things go tonight. Game 1, 7:07 is the scheduled first pitch. James Shield against Madison Bumgarner as the Royals try to win their first world championship. And today on the program, we will be talking, as usual, with our local coaches, Daryl Morris, win number 100 Saturday, Tony Harper from Hastings College, and the state cross country coming up Friday. We want to get a little bit of a preview. One of the area schools that have both their boys and girls qualified is Ravenna. We'll talk with head coach Craig Trampy, and we will be live at the Kearney Country Club Friday for the state cross country meet. We'll have the Doug and Daddy Show there, and then the first race is at 12 noon. So good luck to all of the area participants. It is another crazy week as it's the last week of the regular season for high school football. We've got plenty of action for you both Thursday and Friday on our network of stations. You can check it out at PlatteRiverPreps.com. With the World Series going on, we've got the start of the NBA season next week. Can you believe it? That starts on Tuesday. And college football keeping busy as we get ready for Rutgers and Nebraska coming up on Saturday. Whew. They have to bring up Don Dengiger's name every time the Royals have anything to do with anything, don't they? So if the Royals can win the World Series, then we can put that to rest, because that'll be a legit World Series win. The one thing I always bring up when Cardinal fans whine and cry about that 1985 World Series, it's not like that was the third out of the ball game. That was it would have been the first out. And what we would have seen, I mean, it was 1-0. The Royals had to scratch across one run. That's the thing with good call, bad call. You never know how things are going to play out if there's still game to be played. I mean, there are some instances like the Fail Mary, Green Bay, Seattle Monday night with the replacement refs. Yeah, that was it. That was it. That game was over, but it was also in the regular season. So you have many other opportunities to win games and do things like that. Even Saturday, Notre Dame, if you thought that call went against you, you still did get one more play, even though it was farther away because of the penalty. So hopefully we can put it all to rest. A lot of cool things. Of course, if you're from my era or anywhere around there, that you can enjoy and relive with the Royals and see all the cool images and how it's moved into 2014. But there's so many parody songs and videos, and it's all out there. And that's something that 1985, you couldn't have looked back to a 1964 team and said, ooh, because it just wasn't available to look at. I mean, you can see Willie Mays making an over-the-shoulder catch a lot of times, but you're only going to see the one version of that time and time again. And when you see the celebration that goes on at Kauffman Stadium, you see whether that was during these playoffs or back in the 80s when the Royals were hot. It's just cool to relive that all again. So Royals tonight take on the San Francisco Giants. Trisha Yearwood, it looks like they're going to go country with the national anthem. Trisha Yearwood sings the national anthem tonight. And then Little Big Town, who was in New York on Good Morning America this morning, will be in Kansas City tomorrow. Of course, they performed here at the Buffalo County Fair this last summer. And then when you go out to San Francisco, former American Idol winner Philip Phillips will sing before Game 3, and then Santana and his son will strum it out in Game 4. Producer Jeff, much younger than I am, do you know who Philip Phillips is?
No, I do not.
Can you see if there's if Philip Phillips has had a chart-topping song? Not just a song he made, but an actual song that somebody out there might recognize. I do not know Philip Phillips. And if you won American Idol, I thought we were supposed to know who you were. Philip Phillips. Of course, there's so many of those shows out there now, it's hard to keep track of them all. Boy, feel for my boy Jared Crick last night. Dang, he had a good game. But for about 90 seconds of actual playing time, the roof fell in, and the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Houston Texans by a score of 30-23, and they're now 4-3, and Houston has dropped three in a row. They play Tennessee Sunday. Houston has, I think, Indianapolis on their schedule a couple of times over like the next eight games. But outside of the Colts, every other game is winnable or the Texans will be favored in. I'm going to be interested to see how that all plays out. So, again, Houston, a team that I kind of picked as a dark horse to have a chance to go to the NFL playoffs. In fact, I think they were the last team that I picked to go to the playoffs. They have a chance, but, you know, 3-4, they're going to have to be one of those teams that gets hot. I'm always interested to see the Tuesday morning lines because, let's face it, Pittsburgh's still not a good football team. And they will host Indianapolis next week. And it went from like a pick 'em game to open. Indianapolis is a 3-point favorite over Pittsburgh. And Indianapolis, the only thing there is they're due to lose. So will Pittsburgh get hot coming off that gift that was given to them last night? Or will things change? And then you look at the other side of that coin where Houston goes to Tennessee. And Houston's about a 1-point favorite in that game at Tennessee. So see how she all plays out over the next week. Dallas, Washington, the Monday night game next Monday. Man, Washington's going to go with Colt McCoy. Really? My goodness. Alfred Morris better have a big game next Monday night. Nebraska football, we went through all of that yesterday with head coach Bo Pelini, so not a whole lot of new news there as they get ready to begin practice with Rutgers today. But we can take a look at the Tuesday Heisman Watch, the ESPN expert poll. They have 15 of their ESPN experts that vote on the Heisman. Amir Abdullah picks up another couple of votes, but he is still eighth in the poll. Jameis Winston moves back in, and Kevin White, the wide receiver from West Virginia, also comes into the poll from last week. Dak Prescott of Mississippi State, he is the leader in this experts poll, and the gap has been closed considerably over the week by Marcus Mariota of Oregon. They've got Melvin Gordon, third from Wisconsin. I'm not worried about Melvin Gordon when you're talking about a heads-up race with Amir Abdullah, because that will play itself out when they face each other, and if they're still both hot and in contention, you'll have that. Amari Cooper, wide receiver, Alabama. I still like what he's got. Then it's Jameis Winston, Everett Golston, Kevin White, the receiver from West Virginia, Amir Abdullah, and then a couple of votes in there for Buck Allen and even one for Todd Gurley, which, what do you do with Todd Gurley? Some schools are letting guys play while they're being investigated, and Todd Gurley can't play while they're investigating. Well, that just, I don't know. It doesn't seem fair, but probably shouldn't have done what he did if he did what he did. So there you go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you'd like to be on today's Doug and Daddy show, you can also email the program, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. 50. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question for today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coolest beverages and the coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you who's got a better chance of being unbeaten, Mississippi or Mississippi State. 63% said Mississippi, and the other 38% went with Mississippi State. And when you add that together, that's 101%. You know why? Because our poll is way cool. It's way cool. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We ask you today, which current NFC division leader is most likely to fall off and miss the playoffs? Oh, sure, Dallas is on here. Yeah. Dallas, Detroit, Carolina leads their division. Are they even tied? What a crap division. And Arizona. Wow. 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 Blech. Man. That's weird that those are your division leaders. You made a whole bunch of money on that four-teamer right there. Arizona, Carolina, Dallas, and Detroit, Philadelphia, and Green Bay would be your wild cards right now. Ugh. Carolina. Man. That's just weird. They're 3-3-1. New Orleans is 2-4. Atlanta's 2-5. And Tampa is 1-5. Good. So all New Orleans has to do is figure out a way, and they're going to get past Carolina. I'm going to say Carolina because they're not good right now. You can vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, a lot of volleyball going on tonight in the area. High school-wise, a lot of the Tri-Cities teams are home tonight. Let's take a look at the schedule if you're going to go out tonight and watch a little volleyball. Here's what we've got for you. Kearney High will be home taking on Columbus. Kearney Catholic will be home taking on St. Paul. Hastings will be home taking on Cozad. Adams Central will be home taking on Minden. St. Cecilia hits the road with Lincoln Lutheran for the Columbus SCOTUS Triangular. Grand Island Northwest is home against York. Some other action going on tonight. Donovan Trumbull. How about this? Hyannis and Valentine. They're traveling in on a Tuesday night to play some volleyball at Donovan. Lexington is at Holdridge. Heartland Lutheran will host Fullerton. You have got to Centura at Ravenna. Kennesaw is at Shelton. Silver Lake is at Wilcox Hildreth. The RPAC tournament wraps up tonight at Southwest High School. Bertrand will play Southern Valley at 3, Juanita Palisade and Wallace at 4:30, with the consolation and championship to follow. In the Crossroads, Giltner and Exeter Milligan are in the final, and Lawrence Nelson, a winner last night in the Twin Valley Conference tournament over Silver Lake to take the title. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tony Harper, Daryl Morris, and a little cross-country talk with Ravenna coach Craig Trampy, all still to come.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As lots of sunshine develops through the day today, we'll top off in the mid-70s as winds out of the south will increase to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Now, with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head back into the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line is open for you at 888-455-3776. Kearney Chicken Coop, the original sports bar and grill, the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they are, but no one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop. They want to save you a little money over the lunch hour, so every Tuesday from 11 to 4, it's a salad and soda, only $7. Get the chicken salad, get the taco salad, get anything that you want off the menu that has salad in the title, and you can put that down with a soda for only $7. From 2 to 5:30, you get specials on appetizers, long necks, and draws. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. Watch the World Series tonight and enjoy some great food and very cold beverages. And again, the lunch special every Tuesday from 11 to 4, a salad and soda for only $7. Eight of Nebraska's wrestlers earned spots in the top 20 of their respective weight classes when Intermat released its preseason rankings today. Reigning All-Americans James Green and Robert Kokish are each ranked second in the nation. They're wrestling November 1st in the All-Star Classic in Philadelphia. Green, a three-time All-American. Kokish, a two-time All-American. Senior Jake Soufflon rounds out the Huskers in the top 10 with a number 8 spot. Hastings' Austin Wilson is 14th at 165 pounds. Well, let's dive into our Tuesday football talk with the head coach of the Hastings College Broncos, Tony Harper, coming off a very nice victory on Saturday as they went to Midland and ruined homecoming 48-28. Tony, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you on. Let's start off the top. How's quarterback Matt Overmiller?
Well, we really won't know. He's got an appointment today and this afternoon. We'll learn more at that time. It's a 50-50 deal right now. We have no idea. I think the trainers and doctors do, but I think they're holding off all their ideas until they can get some definite results.
You're moving forward, anticipating he may have to sit a week or two?
Yeah, yes, sir. We had to finish the game with Jason Gaines, who came in and played very admirably in that position, but I think that's something we always have to be prepared for. Jason's already been having extra meetings with Coach Mulring and everything like that, and it's just something, unfortunately, that you got to plan for, and unfortunately, we've been through this before, and Matt's kept a great level head about it, and that's just how we're going to have to look at it.
What would you say are the differences in Jason's game and Matt's game that you guys have to work with and around when he takes the snaps?
I think with each player, especially at the quarterback position, each one's got their own set of strengths and their own set of weaknesses. Matt's biggest strength is his maturity. He's been in the system for 4 years. He's been with Coach Holtzclaw throughout his entire time here. They're kind of on the same wavelength, if you will. Jason, just being a sophomore, he just doesn't have that much experience. So those are two big ones. I think with what Jason brings to the table, though, is Jason's got a quick release. He's got a strong arm. So those are things that we're going to have to play to. And I think, it's about sitting down with Jason and being like, okay, Jason, what do you like? What do you feel comfortable with? Because once the quarterback feels comfortable with it, then he goes out there and he plays a lot faster, a lot more relaxed. And that's what we're going to have to do for these next 2 weeks, is find out what Jason is comfortable with and put him in those positions to be successful.
And that is one benefit here, because you do go into the bye week. For the folks that don't know, you don't play again until Northwestern of Iowa, one of the top teams in the conference year in and year out, will be on the schedule on November the 1st. Will you have to rein the playbook back a little bit, or change, for positive or non-positive, if Jason has to take the snaps?
I think, you're right. We are fortunate that it is a bye week, and we can kind of throw a lot of stuff at Jason and Anthony today and tomorrow and Thursday's practice to kind of see where they're at. We get an extra practice in next Monday. coming off a bye, so we'll be able to pare it down by then. And as long as we're on the same page, we'll throw a bunch of stuff at him early this week and then start paring it down there. And he's just got to get in and watch a lot of film, and I know Jason will.
We're talking with Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you guys were able to come back, win this football game. The stat sheet may not say that you would have won the football game. How were you able to get the job done?
Well, you know, it was all three units played exceptionally well that second half. I'll tell you what, man, that first quarter, first half, the defense, they took that first drive and went 97 yards and, I don't know, it seemed like two plays. I mean, it wasn't two plays, but it seemed like it was two, and they just drove down. They get the ball back. They drive down like 87 yards again, and we're like, oh, man, this is starting to get the same as what it was the week before. And then all of a sudden, we get a third down stop late in the second quarter. You see the offense feed off that, take it in and score. Our special teams did a great job covering. Each unit started feeding off of one another. And that's how we were able to come back the second half, and the kids made plays. And they just it was fun to watch them enjoy themselves and come out there and play hard and play together.
Tony, you mentioned special teams, but it was definitely a part of this football game. You won the field position battle on a couple of punt exchange, a block punt in there, and every once in a while fans just go, oh, well, you know, they kind of poo-poo it unless there's a big return. But it's not just returns in the special teams.
It really isn't. I mean, it's about where does the ball end up. Doesn't necessarily have to be from the return or anything like that, where are you kicking from. I mean, you could kick when you're backed up. You could kick it from the five-yard line, and if you only get it to midfield, that cuts the field in half right there for the offense, and that's kind of what had happened. I mean, you're right. You field the punt at the 49, you get tackled at the 47. It's not that big a deal, but when you only have to work with half the field, the offense feels more comfortable. The special teams feels like they did the job. And then you see positive yards and points go on the scoreboard with it. Then it's just a confidence thing.
Tony, talk about the job that Josh Johnson did for you on Saturday.
I tell you what, Josh has turned into a very solid football player. He's just a sophomore. He's had to take over for Alex Gillen, who we haven't had for a couple weeks, probably won't have him for a couple more. The thing that Josh does is he's kind of got that confident swagger about himself. He doesn't feel like he can get beat. He feels like he's the best guy out there, and he's done some really good things. And his second pick last Saturday was one of the best plays I've ever seen. I mean, he was beat. He did a great job of getting back, goes up from the ball, basically steals it from the receiver, comes down with it, bounces off his chest, reaches up, ensures it. He just played good, and then you throw in as a corner. The kid got eight tackles, you know, and that's good to see that he's getting that confidence, and we're excited to see him get better.
What do you do during the bye week, Coach, besides get your quarterbacks ready, try to get healthy? You told me you're not in the office today, so I assume we're waiting for you to sink a putt there on the fifth hole, but what's going on?
You sound like old Mike Will. He asked me what I was going to do this week's vacation. I go, man, I'm going to work on this week's vacation. But what we're doing is we're already watching film in Northwestern. We're out on the road recruiting, not on the ninth hole. I'll tell you that. We're actually on the road recruiting, and we're getting prepared. We'll come back. We'll practice today. We'll practice Wednesday. We'll practice Thursday. We'll have a controlled scrimmage on Thursday. We'll give them Friday and Saturday off, and then we'll come back on Sunday, just like it's regular game week, and get after it. This week for the guys, it's about competing against each other. It's about doing your job and staying focused. We got three more great teams that we got to play, so let's stay focused and get better each week.
As we get a bye week here, and as you said, you got to come back strong and finish it off to get where you want to be. And the season it's so close, as we've talked about a couple of weeks, to being a real magical one for you right now. What's still in front of you? Is this a run the table and hope for a postseason, or is this run the table and get ready for next year?
You know, we want to be able to have the kids feeling good. We want them to have a goal that they can attain. I think when you start talking about the postseason, I mean, it would be very tough for us to get in with three losses and not being ranked at this point in time. And our guys are smart. They get that and understand that. So how we're approaching it is each week is a playoff game for us. You know, we got a first-round bye this week. We got a second-round game against Northwestern, a third-round game against Dort, and a fourth-round game against Nebraska Wesleyan. And, you know, that's kind of what we're focusing on, you know, and this is a great time to build on on next year, you know. And we do have something special brewing here. We just got to keep it going, but we got to stay focused with the guys and focus on ourselves this week.
Are you surprised about anything in the conference so far this year?
You know, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've seen some of the scores. I knew it was going to be a tough year. I knew there was a lot of evenly matched teams. You know, Morningside, to be quite honest with you, they're a whole heck of a lot better than what I thought they were. On film, they're faster, they're bigger. But I think the rest of us, at any time, anybody can get anybody. And if you look at some of the scores, you look at last week's scores, you look at a couple weeks ago, I mean, it truly is one of those years, and I think this conference is turning into that, where you better come to play, because if you're on the road, you could get beat just because of how everybody is set up. And it's tough, but it's fun. That's what makes it fun, going in with that, you know, with that attitude.
And pronounce your field goal kicker's name.
We call him Nicky D.
Not fair.
I butchered that name so bad at the first practice when he came out that I just said, you know what, you're Nicky G, that's what it is. And you know, he's a guy, he's from Millard South, he came here to play soccer, was on their team, got hurt, says, you know, I was an all-state kicker, can I come out and try? And we're like, yeah, come on out. Boys booming them left and right, so Nicky G is the man right now, he's doing good.
I'll bet his name's not Nicky G if he misses.
It might be something else that I'm not going to say on air.
Well, Tony, go get some kids during this recruiting process, and we'll preview Northwestern next week. Congratulations on the win, and hopefully everything works out for Matt. I guess I should finish out. Was there anything more than Matt that we need to know on the injury front?
You know, we got a couple guys, actually, that we might be getting back next week that we're excited to. But, you know, there was no other injuries. And I do want to take this time, and I appreciate you saying something again about Matt. Matt is a guy who comes from a great program, great family. And to allow him to hoist the Watchhorn McLaughlin trophy to the crowd at the end of that game was something to see. And I'm just happy and excited for Matt, and we look forward to keeping him with us for the next 3-4 weeks.
All right, brother. Have a good day, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a good day now.
Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College Broncos, as they pick up the win over Midland and go into a bye week with a record of 4-3 with still 3 more games to go. And, boy, if they can find a way to beat Northwestern, I think they can run the table and 6-3, see what happens out there. But we'll see what happens with Hastings College, those two close losses. Then they get a nice win here where they had to do it on other spots besides offense on Saturday. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, try to track down UNK coach Daryl Morris, talk a little cross country, and the rest of the day in sports after this.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
The Hastings Museum and Platte River Radio present World War II bus tours November 7th, 8th, 11th, and 16th. This package includes a 2-hour bus tour of the Naval Ammunition Depot with expert Walt Miller, the new 3D film D-Day narrated by Tom Brokaw, and a guided tour at the Hastings Museum, including the new photography exhibit from the National World War II Museum. $30 for members, $40 for non-members plus tax. Space is limited, so call to register soon. More details at Hastings Museum. Museum.org.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 1 till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5. Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
Caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. My friends in the eye, we've cracked the code.
That's fine. You don't have to play this song in San Francisco. We're not in San Francisco. So this is a popular song called Royals from Lord, right?
Yep.
Is that the deal? You got to help me with my hipness here on this 2010 stuff. I mean, I can Taylor Swift and Katy Perry all day, but I don't know Lord.
This is like the second most popular album this year, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not a big music guy.
I know who she is. Been on Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff, but sorry. I like some of the. I got to tell you that I like some of the current, what we would call in this day and age, pop music for us old fogies. It's a little weird, but what is Jonathan Coach when he's hanging out at McFadden's in Kansas City? That's not fair. Why aren't we there? We should have done the show down there. We couldn't get that one written off on the expense report. Daryl Morris and the boys are just finishing up practice. It's fall break out there at UNK, and so they went with an earlier practice today, and we hope to catch him at the end of the program. So stay with us, and we will talk with Coach Morris, hopefully, at the end of the program today. We are in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Join Midway in the fight against breast cancer during the month of October when you test drive any Chevrolet vehicle. They'll contribute another $10 toward the American Cancer Society's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer program, helping out the community in a number of ways, donating their time when they can because they are there at Midway 6 days a week from sunup to sundown, making sure you have the best deals, and they also take care of you when you're not buying vehicles. Maybe you just need a service job. Maybe you need an oil change in and out in 30 minutes. Call for an appointment today. Or maybe they're helping out one of the organizations that's near and dear to your heart in the Tri-Cities and Central Nebraska area. Midway, it's a better way. And if you're looking for maybe an opportunity to get a job here before or change jobs or you're moving into the job market, holidays are right around the corner, and why not join the Midway team? Go to MidwayCareers.com, MidwayCareers.com, and they will get you set up. You can see what kind of jobs are there, and you can see what's all going on with the folks at Midway as they continue to expand all that's going on. 888-455-ESPN. Want to remind you, and I didn't get a chance to watch it all, but as I said yesterday when Jimmy Langan was in, I was going to DVR the Brooke Behringer story from last night and watch as much of it as I could before the show today. I've made it about 45 minutes into the hour. And again, there's not a whole lot there that I didn't know, but it's just as a Nebraska fan and living through that time, it's you view it differently as if you were, I would say, a young kid, a college kid, and weren't around during the Brooke Behringer era. And the Tommy Brooke thing, the coach's decisions, the injuries,
just reliving a story from years and years ago, and it's cool to see our friends Eric Olson from the Associated Press and Ken Hamilton, the Lincoln Journal Star, and some of the players like Damon Benning, Aaron Graham doing a great job. You see Rob Zadiska and these guys that became great men out of the University of Nebraska program, and that's one of the cool things to see. Let's go to the Doug and Daddy Dent Popper inbox. This comes from John and Carney. So, who is your number one pick in the draft? Because the Raiders have locked it up. They had better trade it out for more picks, but that still won't help. The Raiders are now the paper bag saints of the modern era. Just thought I'd give you something else to laugh at. Yeah, you can't make fun of the Cowboys. You do have to pile on your own Raiders, because John, of course, is a Raider fan. I know a few Raiders fans. I don't know what to think about the Raiders. They are bad. And it's hard to believe that any NFL team can be a 15-1 and 16-0 team, and it's hard to believe that any football team can be 0-4. And the Raiders are going to win a game because they've almost done it a couple of times. But you look at Jacksonville, and you go, they're on the come a little bit. And you look at some of these other teams that just aren't very good. And then you look at Oakland, and they are the, in my opinion, they're the worst of the worst. And they play at Cleveland, which at the beginning of the year you would have thought, oh, please don't show this on television or on the radio. Cleveland is a 7-point favorite over Oakland. Cleveland at home, and stay away from that one because the gut says Cleveland to cover, but Oakland, you know, they everybody set up Cleveland, and Mike were among those saying, hey, they could win 3 in a row and get to 6-2 or whatever it was. They could also lose them all and then be the laughing stock of the National Football League. So, John, thanks for the email. Message. Going to talk with Craig Trampy from Cross Country. Ravenna's, both their boys and girls teams are in. So don't forget, we'll chat with him and then Daryl Morris towards the end of the program. Also, what I wanted to get to with more on that Brooke Behringer story is that tomorrow night, as we talked with Bill Friedman last week on the show, The Journey, Big Ten Football 2014, has its premiere for the season. It's the third season, providing fans with exclusive behind-the-scenes glimpses of the Big Ten and its key figures, and Amir Abdullah will be among those featured. Him and his family, of course, all Nebraska fans pretty much know the story of Amir Abdullah, the youngest of 9 children, back to Lincoln for his senior year, and he is second now in career rushing and still has a chance to catch Mike Rozier. He's about 780 yards behind Rozier, setting at 4,001 after the performance of 4 touchdowns on Saturday night at Northwestern. So watch that tomorrow night. It is at 6:00 Central Time Wednesday, the debut of The Journey. Also Michigan State wide receiver Tony Lippett, who we all saw do his thing against Nebraska, and Indiana wide receiver Shane Wynn will be among those featured with Amir Abdullah on The Journey, the Big Ten Network, Wednesday night at 6:00. Well, it looks like it should be a pretty good day. We may have some soggy conditions if it does rain like they say it will Wednesday night into Thursday, but hopefully just good enough to have a great day to run the state cross country meet at the Kearney Country Club on Friday, and one of the few schools in the listening area to have both their boys and girls qualify for state is Ravenna, and we welcome in their cross country coach Craig Trampy. And Coach A, good morning and congratulations to you and the kids.
Thanks.
Hey, let's talk about, I get this question a lot. You've got these kids that are young. You've told me already how this young team is kind of taking their first step by qualifying for state here. When you coach cross country, what are you coaching? Are you coaching each individual to their strengths? What are you looking for from the first summer workouts to where you're at right now wanting to run your best time? What are the things that a cross country coach looks to get done with his team throughout the course of the season?
Well, the thing that we've tried to do with having so many young kids is just getting them to run together, especially in practice, getting them to work on encouraging each other along the team aspect, I guess building the team aspect. We do have a few, especially on our girls team, we have a few girls that are kind of our individual stars, but they've also been good about kind of bringing the other girls along. And then on the boys' side, they run really close together as a team, and one of the things we've talked about is building off of this year for next year, doing a little more summer running and getting them all to improve on their times together.
Craig Trampy, a Ravenna cross country coach, is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Are you surprised at all that both teams have qualified for the state meet?
Not really. We kind of looked at the district earlier in the year, and we compete against a lot of the teams from the district, so we knew going in about where we stood. I knew the girls had a good shot to go to state to win the district because they'd been performing at a higher level all year. The boys' district was a little bit more close of a race, so that was it was kind of a tense race before heading into that. Not sure how we'd know. I knew we'd finish somewhere between first and fourth.
Craig, how has extending the distance here the last couple of years that the girls run, how has that affected the way you train the ladies and the way they run? And it's hard to compare times since it's been such a short amount of time with the transition.
I've actually enjoyed the change. I wasn't sure how it'd go at first, but I know with the girls we have, it's been better. It's allowed them to use their endurance to kind of equalize the field for them. And it makes practices a lot more competitive because we can have them run with the boys more often since they're training for the same distance or race. We're able to do a lot of the same training with our girls and boys at the same time.
As we look at the girls who won the district championship, Arcadia Loup City was the runner-up. Bertrand Loomis also has both of their programs going. They won the boys' side of things. You talked about the youth. You've got two freshmen in Bailey Bitts and Flessner. You've also got sophomores in Maddie Kuchera and Brooke Cremosta, but it's your junior that's your best runner in Victoria Bitts. So what are the expectations? It's pretty easy. You can click on the computer and you can compare times across the state. How does hers compare with some of the state's best?
Well, actually, our top runner is Raven Creamer.
Oh, excuse me, yes.
Freshman. Yeah, and she's a freshman, too. So with our freshman, Raven has ran against some of those upper-level girls. As I look through the district results, you know, Raven is right in the mix to come in close for a medal, just looking at who she's ran with throughout the year and how she compares to times with them throughout the year. And Victoria ran a great race at districts to be right with Raven. Most races she's been within 30 seconds, and so she always Victoria's kind of our experienced runner, and she's the one that helps keep Raven from panicking in a race. If they do get behind, she kind of gets Raven up and going, and Victoria's always solid to come back through. And I think, you know, looking at how she did at Kearney, Victoria's right in the mix to be in that top 20 area, right close to the medals. So I think both those two girls have a good shot at coming in close to meddling. Our other girls, it's going to be a good experience for them to kind of see. We look to see if we can improve on our times from what we ran at the UNK Invite early in the year.
You look at the boys' side, and Darrell Russell is your leading runner there, and a pretty good group of, as you said, freshmen and sophomores as well. What about expectations for him and the boys?
The boys' expectations, you know, we're looking to be, in the top 15. If we can get in the top 10, I'd be really happy. I would say that'd be a really good day for them. They run really well as a group, but we don't have that individual, I guess, star that's going to be up in the medal rankings that's going to really help drop our team score. So one of the things we look at, one of the things we talk about is they're going to be, you know, they're going to score a lot of points based off of the fact that we don't have anybody that has a real fast time throughout the year. But the thing that they need to improve on is if they can all improve their time by 30 seconds, encourage each other and get each other up there to improve that, that can drop their total score by 50-some points, and that moves them up in the rankings pretty quickly.
Talking for another couple minutes here with Ravenna cross-country coach Craig Trampy. Both their boys and girls will run at Kearney on Friday. The Class D girls is first up at 12 noon, and then the Class D boys will go at 1 o'clock. Craig, you know it's a different breed to be able to compete in this sport, but what is it about that state meet for folks that only see a state meet and can sometimes see that kid coming down the tunnel, down the stretch, and they may be in first or they may be in 101st, and all of a sudden they hit that wall? What is it about the state meet that is so different from every other meet during the year?
Well, your adrenaline is going. You know, it's your last meet of the year. It's your last chance to, I guess, prove yourself. You know, and every runner has a different goal when they go out. Some have the goal of going out and winning state, and some have the goal of just improving their times. And I think the people that know those runners, that's a benefit to them, because you see a lot of the people that are cheering on, especially the kids that are towards the back. But a lot of times you find out that that's because that kid's goal was just to improve their time, maybe to run under 30 minutes, which they may be at the end of the race. But for them, that was a huge accomplishment. And so I think, you know, different people can connect with those different things. And those kids that hit that wall, a lot of times they've taken off early, and they got in a good race, but then they just get to a point where they've given everything they can, and now they've got to try and just finish.
Well, Nebraska Christian's been so strong with some of their teams here lately, especially on the boys' side. Give me your handicap. Who are going to be the top teams in D on the boys' and girls' side?
Well, on the boys' side, Nebraska Christian looks really, really tough. I mean, they got six kids that are going to be in the top 30, 40 of the race. They look really, really tough. And Ainsworth's had a good team. They've had a good team for a while, and them and Nebraska Christian have battled. It's been a fun battle to watch over the last couple of years. And Ainsworth's got two kids that are going to be right up there in the mix for the individual title. And, you know, if their fourth runner has a good race, I think that they'll give Nebraska Christian a run for their money. UTAN's got a pretty tough boys team as well. On the girls' side, Crofton obviously is your favorite. They've, I think, won the last eight straight. And they've got a freshman that's their top runner again this year. They're just kind of one of those dynasties that's building. And Malcolm looks good on the girls' side as well. They have a lot of girls that run well together. And then Norfolk Catholic has dropped down to Class D this year, and they've looked strong.
Well, we look forward to seeing some good races coming up at the Kearney Country Club, obviously. First race is at 12 noon, and we will be there with the Doug and Daddy Show and reports all day long. And I'm looking forward to the last race of the day where Craig Trampy takes on Ord coach Derry Trampy in the final race.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that.
Should be all adrenaline out by then. Hey, Craig, thanks for the time. Best of luck to the Jays on Friday.
All right, thanks, Doug.
Take care, Craig Trampy. Known him since he was a little Trampy. 888-455-ESPN. Great to have him with us. And again, Bertrand Lewis has qualified both of their teams for the state meet as well. I think Donovan Trumbull's an interesting story. They've got the boys there, but they also had the first and second place girls in the district. They just missed out on a team by finishing in fourth. Again, your schedule on Friday, it's D and B early this year. So D girls at noon, B girls at 12:30, then the boys, and then at 2, C girls, A girls, and then at 3, C boys, and the final race is the A boys this year at 3:30. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show and try and track down Daryl Morris. They've just wrapped up practice. We'll be looking for the coach, so stay with us.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
With a friendly, helpful, no-pressure sales staff, I can't think of another reason you'd need to buy your next car from Crossroads Ford. So, here's 1,000 reasons. With every car you buy, you'll be entered to win a drawing of a $1,000 gift card from Cabela's. New or used, car, truck, or SUV, regardless of make or model. Purchase a car at Crossroads Ford and you'll have a chance to win a $1,000 gift card from Cabela's. Hurry, you must buy before the end of business December 18th. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney Grand Island and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hi, this is Michelle Henke, Executive Director of the United Way of South Central Nebraska, and I invite you to get connected. In an effort to increase connections and relationships between local agencies and community members, the United Way of South Central Nebraska offers an online system called Get Connected. You simply log on to unitedwayscne.org to start your journey. Get Connected is an amazing tool for finding resources, events, and volunteer opportunities. For details, call us at 402-461-8412.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to support 22 local agencies by giving to the Kearney Area United Way annual campaign. It only takes one person to change a life. Be the one.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
More exciting high school football comes your way this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Thursday here on ESPN Radio. Amherst will be hosting Burwell. While on Classic Hits 98.9, a top 10 battle with Kennesaw at Elwood. And on The Breeze 94.5, Lawrence Nelson takes on Giltner. Friday on ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic takes on Holdridge. On ESPN 1550, it's Lexington at Hastings and McCook Adams Central. Friday on 1230 KHAS. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Continue to see everybody out in the field. I have to admit, and here's one thing, as we get to talk about our friends over at TNL, when you're going out and traveling to all the activities, whether in the fall it's volleyball or football or just to do the Doug and Daddy Show like we're going to do Thursday at Bandits back over in Grand Island. Look forward to that. Steve Anderson going to join me again. A little Breeders' Cup talk from Steve-O on Thursday. But always love to grin when I see the TNL pivot out there and I see the farmers, they're done, everything's good, they're ready to roll. And that's why we continue to just talk about the greatness of TNL. If you haven't had that opportunity, and I know there's a lot of farmers out there and there are a lot of choices, but TNL continues to grow, and there's a reason why. They're good folks, and right now the harvest special $5 per foot discount, you can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter mile long TNL pivot, always assured of decades of reliability. So obviously you don't need to buy a new one and replace it in your field every 3 or 4 years, but if you're expanding or you want to try that new hydrostatic power, here is what you do. You contact your local TNL dealer or go to TLIRR.com. I wish we would have got one of those TNL water guns over at Foster Field on Saturday, because they wouldn't have been able, with that bad knee, to run away from those football players. I'll tell you what, they caught you. Daryl Morris joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How's practice?
Hey, practice was good. Guys got the afternoon off, so they're excited.
I would imagine so. And, you know, with a bad knee, you still kind of, you know, went from sideline to sideline there.
Well, I saw them back there. You know, you got one guy that's 6'7", one 6'6", and they're walking around with an ice bucket. That's not real hard to figure out. So I kept going from one end of the box to the other, trying to keep them off guard. I probably would have, even with my bad knee, I would have been out running, but Romero Cotton kind of grabbed me and held me up there, so he'll pay the price for that down the road someday. But yeah, it was nice of the kids to even recognize the, you know, that it was my 100th win.
Well, it's not even fair, because those guys can't hide behind Coach Croc or Coach Evo or some guys.
No, only a midget could hide behind Coach Croc.
Well, we'll talk about the football, but the 100th win, it was a little longer coming, I know, than you wanted it to be, Daryl, because of all the success you guys had, and now you're growing in the MIAA, which we continue to bring up. But the kids seem to be playing pretty good football here for you the last couple of weeks, and it was something that wasn't a surprise. They were able to anticipate it, celebrate it, and so were you. This wasn't one that came down to the wire.
No, it wasn't. You know, it's a nice deal. I remember the first coach, a guy named Charlie Cowdery, that I worked for when he got his 100th win, and it was a nice event that we had for him when he did that. So it's nice, and obviously there's been a gazillion people involved in that. My wife would be one of those. I never remember to thank everything that she does for our football program, but all the coaches I've had and all the players that have been involved in that, it's you know, it's a team effort all the way. So it was nice that the kids even knew about it and recognized it and helped me celebrate it just a little bit. And we are playing much better football. I think we're actually coming together. I think offensively our kids are starting to get comfortable with each other and starting to understand the system to a level which allows us to be a little more effective offensively, for sure.
Daryl Morris, UNK football coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, if you would, take me a little deeper into that, because you have had to make some changes. Some of them weren't comfortable changes, and sometimes that's tough to do.
Well, you know, it is, and you know, but the kids have been good about the things that and the film doesn't, you know, tell a story. It's we make decisions based on what we see in practice and what we see on film, and everything is basically based on data that we get from practice and film evaluation. So, you know, they've been good about the changes that we've made, but you know, this group of kids just continues to come to work every week, and they haven't given up hope, and that's a testament to go 0-5 and actually get beat at home 49-0 and then go on a two-game winning streak is a testament to their desire to be a good football team and stick together and try to do it as a team.
You've talked about your defense most of the year getting the job done. It was the offense that had struggled, and I thought a key moment was right there before halftime. You guys had a lead. But then the turnover deep in Lindenwood territory, and they get their really only significant drive of the football game, and you guys come up with a goal line stand at the perfect time because it not only keeps them out of the end zone, but it takes you into the locker room, and everybody's on a high right there. And maybe that's something with the way the ball had bounced the first month of the season that didn't happen. These guys stepped up and got it done.
Well, you know, it is, and that was awesome because I think actually the goal line stand by our defense did a lot more to demoralize Lindenwood had we not fumbled the ball and actually scored a touchdown on them. So because, you know, they did put a nice drive together. They threw some out routes, moved it down the field. We committed a couple of penalties, which kept putting the ball half the distance to the goal, and they still weren't able to hammer it in on us. And I think that probably did more to demoralize them than anything else we had done. So, you know, hats off to the defense. That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 100 and maybe 5 yards Lindenwood had at halftime, and about 80 some of it was on that last drive.
I think, 88 yards on that drive. So it was an excellent opportunity for our defense to shine, and they did a great job overcoming some adversity in that and never gave up, never quit, and did a nice job.
A name, and again, I like to bring these up because we bring up Ty Kozum. It looks like he's getting some help out there. One of those guys that had a really good game for you was Greg Sherwood. You might not necessarily want your safety to be leading you in tackles, but it was a different type of game Saturday.
Yeah, it was a different type of game, and Greg's done a nice job for us his entire career. He's a good, steady football player. I wouldn't call him flashy, but he's steady. He's on point, and he's knowledgeable, and he does a good job getting our defense lined up and making some adjustments for us. So Greg's been a great player for us. He's a great young man, and you know, and he's helping us continue to move this program forward.
Let's give a local boy some love here. He's a redshirt freshman out of Arapahoe, and Wyatt Anderson got back in the backfield a couple times.
Yeah, he did. Nobody's more tickled about that than Wyatt, obviously, but we also, as a coaching staff, and just a football team, we love it when the unsung guys, you know, kind of the blue-collar guys, actually get in there and start doing some things. And Wyatt's had a couple of plays in the last couple of games where we've had to put him in games because of some injuries, and he's done an admirable job, and he's made some big plays for us. So, you know, you just love it when that happens for somebody.
Darrell Morris with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They get ready to take on Pittsburgh State on Saturday. And you know us media guys, Darrell, we're not coaches, but we sure think we are.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because I noticed, and it wasn't every time, but when you watch film, tell me about Romero Cotton's running style. And my point being, it seemed like a couple of times, maybe more than that, he had his head down because the running game for some part of the season wasn't successful. He knows when he runs in the middle of that pile that he's not going to get a whole lot. But then as the game progressed, he popped a couple, and you could see him run with his head up a little more. Am I imagining that?
No, Romero, if he has a fault, he does run with his head down. And we're constantly talking to Romero about keeping his eyes up, keeping his chin up, because, A, we don't want him to strike anything with the top of his hat and suffer a catastrophic injury of some kind. God forbid. So, you know, some guys just drop their heads, and they're you know, he's kind of a power back. He's not a shifty guy, so he's always going in there with his pads low, trying to bang off of somebody and get a few more yards. And but Romero made a couple misreads early in the ball game that had he read up better and hit it in the hole, and he'd have probably had another 50 or 60 yards rushing in the ball game. But like any good back, and you know this, Doug, any good back, the more times they see it, the more reps they get, the more carries they get, and they start beginning to see the defensive flow, and they just get better and better and better as the game goes on. And I think that was Romero Cotton in our last game.
Awesome. You've got a team now that is red hot. Maybe this is a good thing. Coaches never want to play a team that just got upset, but Pittsburgh State did the opposite. They found a way to beat Northwest Missouri State, which had to be almost a perfect game. Tell us what you saw on film from that game and what makes them different than some of the other teams.
Well, you know, what they did to Northwest Missouri, and we've actually had a conversation about Northwest Missouri's special teams, because we faked two punts on Northwest Missouri. They also have had other fake punts performed on them successfully by other teams. But what Pittsburgh State did was they actually soccer kicked a kickoff to a guy on their team running down the sideline, and he successfully caught the kickoff. And then they pooch kicked it, popped it up in the air twice to the same guy at Northwest Missouri, and he dropped both of them. So they had three short fields in a row and had Northwest Missouri down 28-0 by midway through the second quarter. And then, of course, that just allowed their defense to really pin its ears back and really get after Northwest Missouri's offense. Northwest Missouri looked very, very human in that football game is what I came away with it as I watched it on film. And Pittsburgh State looked very good, very good football team.
What are you expecting this Saturday?
Well, you know, they throw the ball very well. They don't run it a ton, but they do throw the football well. They've got the leading receiver in the league on their football team, and their quarterback is very good at what he does. Defensively, which I've spent most of my time so far this week looking at their defense, very big, very physical. They're going to have one corner who's going to play nothing but man-to-man. The rest of them are going to play some zone. But the guys up front, and I always thought Northwest Missouri may have had the best front seven in Division II football that I was aware of. And, boy, if they still are, Pittsburgh State is a very, very close second. So they're very physical up front. Linebackers are very good, flow to the football well. Northwest Missouri struggled to run the football on them. And once that became a fact, then the passing game was also struggling.
Yeah, Pittsburgh State, the top quarterback in Abenoa, if I said that right, and that's by about 400 yards over the next best quarterback in the league. And Marquise Kushan is there as the receiver, and he doesn't even have the most touchdowns as Gavin Luttman does.
Yeah, so, you know, they're going to throw the football effectively, and they do it out of a lot of different formations. So they're going to try to get you in a lot of different formations, see if they can trick you with formations. And then a lot of guys running a lot of different routes out of those formations. So it's going to be a challenge for us defensively. You know, we are a little depleted up front, so anytime you got to chase the quarterback a bunch in a ball game, that's difficult. So that'll be a little bit of a challenge for the guys on defense. We did a great job this past Saturday, but it'll be another challenge for us against a better football team than we beat last Saturday.
Well, you got 100 more to go before we start celebrating again, so you just won't get started Saturday.
We might as well.
All right, Coach. Thanks for the time. Congratulations.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
That's Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. Saturday's game is at Pittsburgh State. The Gorillas, not too far removed from their own national championship, beat the defending national champs last week. They've also got the MIAA Defensive Player of the Week in Colby Hall. So they're 6-1. You have to hope for a little bit of a letdown. I mean, my goodness, they just won the biggest game in a couple of years since the national championship. But they are going to be a tough task for the Lopers. Hey, congrats to our winner this week in the Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Fantasy Football Challenge. And that's BG Poker. That's what we got. That's the name. BG Poker winning the Fantasy Football Challenge. Check out the group page on ESPN for your prize information. A one-point victory. A one-point victory. Who did it for him? Oh, I say, boy, who did he sneak in there that probably, because, you know, playing Joe Flacco at quarterback probably wasn't the greatest decision of all time. He was supposed to light it up. He did okay. New England's defense might have even helped him out, even though they gave up those points to the Jets. He had Luck and Flacco as his quarterbacks. Arian Foster pulled him through last night. Matt Forte, big play. Of course, Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, very good picks at the wide receiver. Gates was his tight end, and Justin Tucker was his kicker. If you haven't signed up yet, do so now, and you can win because our contest is weekly, so you can get started today. And every week, someone picks up the $25 gift card, and the winner is then put into the $200 Super Bowl party at Cunningham's at the end of the season. Congratulations there to BJ Poker. Oh, let's see if I did that. We covered that. We talked about that and that, and then we did that. So if we've done all of this and that, does that mean we're done? Let's get into our Husker lunch tomorrow. We are at Cunningham's, and we invite you to join us. It's going to be a big old show. We're going to start off with our Loper Link tomorrow with the Chancellor. That's right, the Chancellor. Doug Christensen will be on hand. We'll also talk with Steve Stutzman about basketball season tickets and how you can acquire those as the teams are practicing and getting ready for the season openers in mid-November. So we'll talk to Steve Stutzman and Doug Christensen tomorrow on Loper Link. Of course, the final week of the football season. Kearney High playing Norfolk. Norfolk has lost their starting quarterback. You can check out that story. And we will talk with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report about the final week and who's got the most important games as far as getting into the playoffs and getting some seeding. And then Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, will be on hand. He'll join us at the end of the show. And then from 12 to 1 at Cunningham's, nothing but Nebraska football and answering your questions. Recap of Northwestern, a preview of Rutgers, and what's still out there with recruiting and so many other things. We do want to thank Daryl Morris, Tony Harper for joining us today, as well as Ravenna coach Craig Trampy for cross country. Thank you for joining us as well, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.